Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have tonight to study your word. Lord, we set our love upon you. Lord, it's so awesome when we sit and just think about all that you've done. You're there, arms wide open, inviting us in. You made the way where there was truly no way. You made a way where we could come and fellowship with you, where we can love you and you can pour your love upon us. Lord, we are truly a blessed people. Yeah, there's problems and issues and turmoil all around us, but with you, there's joy and peace.
Yes, Lord.
With you, there's life. With you, there's eternal hope. And Father, we're so thankful for that. Lord, our problems seem so big, but Lord, they're really so small in the scheme of things. And on top of everything else, they're temporary.
Yes, amen.
They are temporary. There is a point in our future when we'll be walking in joy unending and full of glory. Be no more tears, no more sadness, no more crime, no more mean people, no more tears. Just joy walking with you, Lord. That is an absolute in our future. And we're so thankful for it, Father. That was your will all along. This stuff was not supposed to be happening. It's supposed to be that way right now. But Adam made a failure. He fell. He turned away. But now, Lord, you've made a way that we can turn back.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I never get tired of thinking of that. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're still walking in the ways of the Lord. I plan on doing that the rest of my life. I plan on doing that when eternity happens. When I step over in eternity, I'm still going to be walking in the ways of the Lord.
Yes, amen.
You know, it's so awesome to me that he opens the door for us to be able to do so. So we're still studying, walking in the ways of the Lord. And I don't know what the number of the message will be in eternity. 7,692. I don't know. But this message is number 44. It's part 44. You know, we'll be studying walking in the ways of the Lord in heaven.
Amen.
What we don't find out here, we're going to have to learn there. So learn all you can here. But this is Walking in the Ways of the Lord, part 44. And tonight's title, we're going to move from goodness into faith and faithfulness. Faith and faithfulness, fruits of the Spirit, is the title. And the reason I put both there, you will find out here shortly. But we still had a whole bunch to go on goodness, and not done with that either. But I just felt that it was time to move on to the next fruit. So we'll be starting on faith and faithfulness tonight. Well, this is our new statement for faith. I might alter this a little bit. I was pretty pushed today. But a person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is committed to and is diligently walking the love walk, developing the fruit of the Spirit in every area of their lives. They are faithful to God in His living Word. They walk a life of faith anchored in God's living Word. That's what a person walking in faith does. They walk a life of faith anchored in God's living Word. You cannot walk a life of faith without being anchored in God's Word.
Amen.
You have to have both. You know, and we'll see that as we go through this study. I don't know how many there will be, but there will be several on faith. We're going to start with the fruit of the Spirit scripture because, you know, there's a reason I wanted to do it. Galatians 5, 22-23, and this will be the New King James. But the fruit of the Spirit, and we need to listen to these, and I know we've heard them numerous times, but as we listen to them, try to draw a picture in your spirit man of what they are. And the fact that they function together, they require one another. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, or there's nothing that can overcome them. There's nothing. They are the highest law because they function in the law of love. There's no higher law than the law of love. Nothing can keep them from functioning except the person themselves. Mm-hmm. for their function on the law of love. But if you notice that word there, faithfulness, that's the one we're on right now. The New King James, lists one of the fruits of the Spirit as faithfulness. Other translations list the fruit as faith. Mm-hmm. It depends on what translation you go to, and there are other words used for that same Greek word. The Amplified Classic, the American Standard, New King James, the NIV, the Living Bible, all translate the Greek word as faithfulness. The King James, the Modern King James, the Passion Translation, and Young's Literal Translation translates the Greek word as faith. And there are others that do both that I didn't have on my computer. I got other ones on this one, but I didn't have it on that computer, so I didn't look. The Weymouth Translation translates the Greek word as benevolence. So, and actually, they all apply. They all apply to this fruit. The Greek word used, the way it's pronounced according to the Thayer and Strong's, is, I guess, pistis. I guess
it's yeah, pistis.
Pistis. The Greek word used in this verse is pistis. And I've done a lot of research today on that. And there's a verb, but that's the noun. And that's what is being used in Galatians 5:22. The Thayer definition, in a little more detail, for pistis is one, it's a conviction of the truth of anything. Belief in the New Testament of a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, generally with the included idea of trust and holy fervor born of faith and joined with it. And then that breaks that down a little bit more. 1a, related to God, the conviction that God exists and is the creator and ruler of all things, the provider and bestower of eternal salvation through Christ. 1b, related to Christ, a strong and welcome conviction or belief that Jesus is the Messiah, through whom we obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. And see, the religious beliefs of Christians, because we say, well, that's our faith, you know. And D, belief with the predominant idea of trust or confidence, whether in God or in Christ, springing from faith in the same. So it's belief. And then the second definition is fidelity and faithfulness. That's where they get faithfulness at for that word. The character of one who can be relied on. So the new Strong's expanded dictionary of Bible words, that's different than the Strong's, says pistis is used of belief with the predominant idea of trust or confidence, whether in God or Christ, springing from faith in the same. It's similar to the Thayer's. Faith means trust, confidence, assurance, and belief. That's the rest of that definition from Strong's. Webster's dictionary says faithfulness. Now, I wanted to find faithfulness. What? Because both words are used here for that fruit. Faithfulness is fidelity, loyalty, firm adherence to allegiance and duty. Truth, veracity, as the faithfulness of God. A strict adherence to injunctions and to the duties of a station, as the faithfulness of servants or ministers. Faith and faithfulness are both the ways or nature of God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They are both fruits of the Spirit. So both are correct. Not only is God faithful, so we should be faithful. Not only is Jesus faithful, the Holy Spirit is faithful in the context of being reliable, being unmovable in what they're doing. They're faithful. They said it, they'll carry it out. But there's also faith itself. Faith is present in the fruit of the Spirit as well as faithfulness. They're both correct. Hebrews 11:6, let's look at that. We will be studying both faith and faithfulness in our study. First, we will study faith, since according to Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God without it. So we see how important it is. In Hebrews 11:6, the word says, but without faith, it is impossible. Let's say impossible.
Impossible.
Now, is it possible to do it then?
Nope.
No, it's impossible to please God without it. So if you're running around not believing in the faith message, you're stupid.
It's not going to happen.
You're not pleasing to God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Two different things. You can't come to God unless you believe that He is. Mm-hmm. And it requires faith to do that. Mm-hmm. Because you can't see Him. Or you can, but not in the way we see Him. He's everywhere. It's like He's being so big you can't see Him. He's in everything. Everything's in Him, you know. And He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith. See, we can't even be made right with God without faith. We can't connect. We can't get born again without faith. Faith is vital. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So faith not connects us with God, it gives us peace, and it also is the very thing that causes us to have excess. We can't connect with God without faith. The Bible defines this Greek word pistis in Hebrews 11:1. It's the best definition for this word pistis, the word that we use for this fruit of the Spirit called faith and faithfulness. Well, let's go to Hebrews 11:1. This is the Bible definition. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Everything that we see was made by faith. Faith is involved in everything. God's faith. Mm-hmm. God's faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. There's a lot in that first verse. Now. Faith is the substance, or what it's made of, things hoped for. And what is hope? Absolute, earnest expectation. Without faith, Bible hope won't work. Let's look at Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified. Now, faith is the assurance. Faith gives me assurance. I'm sure. My faith, I choose. My faith, I'm sure. It gives me assurance so that I can be sure that what God said is. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation. You know, I just bought some things for Mom from Amazon. Mm-hmm. Well, I gave them my money. But they sent me a confirmation that they received the money. Mm-hmm. That's what faith is. Faith is the assurance, the confirmation of what I have faith in. Mm-hmm. It's confirming that that's mine. I'm putting my faith in it. The title deed, I like that one. You know, we have a title deed to this house. Mm-hmm. It paid in full, praise God. Mm-hmm. No one can say it's not ours. It's our house. Ours. Title deed. If I lose my title deed, it's still mine. It's recorded somewhere else. So, it's
just
a title
lost
deed
a piece
to it.
Of paper.
Pardon?
Lose the title deed.
Yeah.
Just lost a piece of paper.
Yeah.
It's still your house.
It's still my house. And the faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for. So here we see faith, mm-hmm. hope, mm-hmm. and what we're hoping for, which is the Word, working together. Mm-hmm. Faith, hope, and the Word are working in that verse. Of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of the reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Now, we are faith beings. Mm-hmm. We are. I'm not talking about just born again people being faith people. Mm-hmm. Mankind as a species is faith, is a faith being.
Wow, as a species.
Yeah.
As a species. Mankind wow. as a whole is a faith being.
That's because we're made in the image of
we're
God.
We're made in the image of God. We always operate in faith. I'm sitting in this chair right now by faith. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask if it was going to hold me. I have faith in it. Mm-hmm. Jean's got smart. She's sitting on the floor. But that's no guarantee the floor will hold her. But she has faith that it's solid.
I do. So
you get in your car, you start it, you have faith it's going to go somewhere.
I do now.
Well, you know, even people that are really, really evil people, they have faith in something.
Sure.
Everything we do by faith.
Mm-hmm.
We don't realize we're doing it,
mm-hmm.
but we do. I take a bite of food and swallow it. I'm doing it by faith.
Mm-hmm.
I trust somebody. Mm-hmm. You can take faith and trust and put them together. Trust is a lower law, but you have to, in order to have faith, you have to grant your trust.
Mm-hmm.
You got it. The trust has to back your faith, or you can't have faith. They're pretty close, but they're not the same. Faith is a force, where trust is something I do, something I have to grant.
Mm-hmm.
So they work together, but not exactly alike, but you can compare them. So let's read that. Hebrews 11:1 Amplified Classic, all at one time. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things. It's a thing we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of the reality. So I'm convinced they're real. I don't see it, but I'm convinced. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses.
That's walking by faith and not by sight.
That's exactly what we're doing.
Yes.
But even the evil person is doing that to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
We have something to have faith in, God's living word.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so important to believe that it's absolute truth. It's not hard to have faith in something that's absolute. You know, I can believe that. I can believe the word. It's absolute.
Mm-hmm.
You can't beat that out with a brickbat. I know it's true. Now, this is the Passion Translation. Now, faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. It's all the evidence we need. I have faith in the Word. That's all the evidence I need. It's the foundation for it. It's the foundation that I'm standing on. My faith is in this Word. I'm anchored in it. I'm aiming at that goal. My faith is in this Word that's going to get me there. I trust it.
Well,
if you say I have faith in that but don't trust it, you don't have faith.
Wow. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, it says,
It starts out quoting the psalm that says that you put everything in subjection under his feet for man. Mm-hmm. And it says, in subjecting everything to him, God left nothing that is not made subject, but in fact, we do not yet see everything in subjection to Jesus. What we in subjection to man, what we do see is Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, that's what we see. Is we don't see everything that it's supposed to be. Yeah,
right.
Everything's put under his feet. It don't look like it.
But
we don't see that. But we do see Jesus.
We see him.
That's what we see. That's what our faith is in. That it really
And who is Jesus? He's a living word.
Yeah.
Faith is always now. We read that. Now faith. Every one of those said now faith. Now faith. Now faith. Faith is always now. It's not yesterday. It's not tomorrow. Faith is always now. Faith can only work in the now. It can't work anywhere else. It can't work anywhere else. A lot of faith in that coming to pass. It won't. You have faith in the Word. Hope is what you're having. Absolute earnest expectation. That's what's bringing it to pass. Your faith is always now. Faith can only work in the now. Faith cannot work in the future. Hope works only in the future as a blueprint and guide for our faith, for our now faith. I'll read that again. Faith is always now. Faith can only work in the now. Faith cannot work in the future. Hope works only in the future as a blueprint and guide for our now faith. They have to both be there. Faith and hope are both anchored in God's Word. That's where they're anchored at. Without the Word, neither one works. Faith and hope are both anchored in God's Word. Faith and hope work together. Along with patience, all work by love. It's faith, hope, and patience. They always have to work together. You leave one out, the others won't work. Why? Faith is in the now, hope is in the future. Patience is the link. You have to have patience moving between every now moment. Patience, 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 patience. Mm-hmm. It's got to move with your faith in the now, which works in the faith working in the now. Patience takes it to the next now. And patience takes it to the next now. Mm-hmm. Patience takes it to the next now. Mm-hmm. They're all moving towards hope. And every time my faith moves by patience, my hope is building something out there. It's got another building block. It's getting closer to the finished product because I'm moving. Faith and patience is holding the two together. Without either one of them, it won't work. No matter what it is, it won't work. That's why you have to stay in the Word and you aim your faith at the Word. Hope jumps forward immediately. And it starts working on its part. Patience moves to the next now, giving it another building block. You see how that works? Galatians 5:6. For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. So my love, when I walk the love walk, it activates my faith. Mm-hmm. Then it energizes it. It's expressed and working then because I'm walking in love. Mm-hmm. That's the Amplified Classic version. The others say faith works by love. Well, that's true. It's saying the same thing. But this is telling you how it works. Mm-hmm. The law doesn't count for anything. That's what he's saying. Mm-hmm. For if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, the law counts for anything. So the law doesn't mean anything. Because we're not under the law. We're under grace, Jesus said, or Paul said. But only faith, instead of the law, only faith activated energized and expressed and working through love. That's what matters. That's where we got to aim ourselves. That's what we got to look for. Faith works by love. So if you have a project that you're working on, I don't care big or small, and you will have if you don't, you better check your love walk out. Because you're going to fail if you don't. There's no fuel in the tank. I hope you don't know what running out of fuel is like. I've done that. It's been a long time, but I've done it. You know, there's no fuel. I got a good car, but I'm not going very far. So faith works by love. Faith works by love. Faith and love are always in the now. Can you love somebody yesterday? You should have already done that. Can you love somebody tomorrow? Well, I hope so. But I'm not in tomorrow. The only place you can love is in the now. The only place your faith will work is in the now. They both work in the now. The number one priority where our life is concerned is our love relationship with the Lord. That's number one. There is absolutely nothing more important than that. Nothing. I don't care what it is. Yeah, but I'm going to die tomorrow if I don't get this. Your love's more important. Well, I'm going broke. Your love's more important. Well, I got to fix this or I'm again going to go broke. Love's more important. Go broke. You're better off going broke than falling out of your relationship with the Lord. He can fix that. You can't. So that's number one priority where our life is concerned. And it's so sad it's not in most people's lives, even in Christian lives that know better. It's not number one. The number one priority where our faith is concerned is walking the love walk. It is number one. First two priorities in our life, our love relationship with the Father. Second, or number one where our faith is concerned, is our love walk. Walking in the now moment of faith and love feeds and changes our future. It provides the substance and the power and the fuel and the energy and all the building blocks for our future. Our love walk and our faith together, working together in our now. If I don't build my resources in my now, they're not going to be there when I get to my next now. They're just not going to be there. And the longer I don't do it, the longer it takes to build it when I get ready to. It's not something you can just turn a switch on and there it is. No, there's a process there. And it's important that we work on that process in our now moments as we go, because you'll either have everything you need in your next now that's not here yet, or you'll be minus some things. And if you're not paying any attention to that, you're going to wind up pretty destitute when you get out there further. And you'll try to build it all up, and you'll have problems that would not have been there. Because if you'd have walked your love walk at that throughout the other now moments, kept your faith in the Word strong, and your relationship with God strong, in your past now moments, you'd have been ready for this now. But without it, you're going to have to do it now, and the problem's already here. So it's important that we realize and do this. Walking in the now moment of faith and love feeds and changes our future. Not only does it supply the needs for our future, it can correct a future that would have been otherwise.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing what's right in my now. Mm-hmm. Your now affects everything in your life. Everything. It affects everything. John 15:7. If you live in me. Now that first word there is gigantic in the Bible. If you live in me. Abide vitally united to me. and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts. Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Most Christians skip those first words. They go right to the last. God said, I can ask whatever I will, and it shall be done for me. That's not what he said. That's only a tiny piece of what he said. He's saying you're involved in your now moment. You are involved in whether or not you can receive from God. If you live in me, number one, you're born again. You live in him. You're in Christ. Abide vitally united to me. What's something that's vitally united? It means it's unbreakable. You're not going to move away from here. This is vital to me. I'm not doing anything other than this. I'm going with God. I'm united with him. Now, if I'm united with him, that means I'm in his word. It means I'm worshiping, I'm praising. It means I'm turning my ways to his ways. That's why we're studying the ways of the Lord. So we can bring our ways over to what they're supposed to have been all along. If I live, and that word live means this is where I exist. I exist here. In me. Abide vitally united. Something that's united to something that become one. United to me, and conjunction word, my words remain in you. And continue to live in your hearts. Why, that, isn't that kind of a way of saying it twice? It's not really, no. If my words remain in you and continue long term, they're not going away. I'm going to continue this to live in your hearts. Mind and spirit, we talked about that the last couple of weeks. Then ask. Why? Because what I'm going to ask is in line with his will. And because it's in line with his will, he's not going to hold that back. And Satan can't. Isn't that awesome? He, if I'm doing this, Satan can't keep it from happening. My faith is in that. And that scripture is a now moment scripture. It's one that continues from one now moment to another. Romans 1:16 in the New King James. Now Paul put it this way. I like the way he says it. He's basically saying the same thing we're talking about. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are we? Are you ashamed of it? No.
I was just quoting it.
Pardon?
I know the scripture.
You know that scripture?
That's one of the ones we learned for Awana.
Yeah, we better learn that scripture. Mm-hmm. We better learn that scripture. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then I got to ask myself, when I'm with other people and I'm not walking as a child of God in that group of people, am I not ashamed of it? If I wasn't ashamed, I would be the same whether I'm with them or not. Mm-hmm. Or whether it's convenient or not. Mm-hmm. Whether everybody likes it or not, I'm going to be the same. Mm-hmm. Now, it don't mean that I'm going to be arrogant and pushy and ornery and arrogant and all that other stuff with it. No, I'm just going to live a loving Christian life, no matter what anybody says. Now, other people might think I should be mad at that person, but I don't have to. The Word says I should love my enemies. So hopefully that guy's not a real enemy. He's just done something to me. So if I'm supposed to love my enemies, what about that guy? If I'm not ashamed of the gospel, I'm going to love him anyways. If I don't love him anyways, I'm ashamed of the gospel. Because the gospel is truth. Or if I say things that you think they want you to say just because of who they are and they wouldn't understand and get mad, or you feel like you would embarrass them or something, or they'd be unkind because you're walking right with God. No, I can't go there. I can't go in there. That's wrong for me to go in there. Well, why? Who do you think you are, holier than thou? Well, it depends on how you put that. I'm walking with God. And you're not. So you decide what you want to you want to put that. The Father I love, I don't go in there. No. So that's where you have to be. Make an excuse if you can and just do something else. What, or I can't go tonight. And that's not a lie, because you can't go where they're going. It doesn't mean that you're not available to go. It means I can't go there. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek, or for the uncircumcised, or the
Gentiles.
Mm-hmm. That's us. For in it, in that gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Mm-hmm. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Right. So if you are a child of God, you will live by faith. We are supposed to live by faith, or by trust. Trust in God, believing His word. Not by our carnal nature, but by our spirit man. Luke 4:4. Jesus said almost the same thing. In Luke 4:4, Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. Oh, I love that. You know what that means? That means this is an absolute truth. It is written. Mm-hmm. Jesus said that a lot. It is written. And he said it straight to Satan, and it totally defeated Satan when he said that. For it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Who was he talking to?
The devil.
He was talking to Satan in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. Satan said he was hungry for 40 days, man. He hadn't eaten or drinking anything. And he's in the wilderness, and Satan comes up, turn this, if you are the Son of God, turn these rocks to bread. Now, that was a temptation, right? So I suggest to you, if it was a temptation, then he could have done it. It's never a temptation to be tempted to do something that's not possible. So if Satan said it, and Jesus responded this way, then it must have been possible for him to take that rock and make it bread. Why? He's the one that created the rock to begin with. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's the Word of God.
Well, later on, he turned the water into wine.
He turned the water into wine. Mm-hmm. You know, so we know that that was a temptation, a real one. Mm-hmm. He was hungry. But he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He told the woman at the well that. And the disciples, when they came up and found him sitting there with that woman. We're not going there, but we also see this. Jesus is actually quoting where it was written, Deuteronomy 8:3. That's where it was written at. When he says, for it is written, that's what he's quoting, Deuteronomy 8:3. Moses is talking in that case. Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how we get it. If we're going to get faith, that's what we're going to have to do. But not only, the reason it put, and hearing by the word of God, he could have just said, so faith comes by hearing. But he didn't. He added that second part. And hearing by the word of God. Sometimes you read the Bible and think, why did he say that way?
Why? Anything.
Because faith always comes by hearing. Mm-hmm. Whatever you're hearing. Mm-hmm. If somebody's talking negative about something, you can't do that. Who do you think you are, man? Man, I tell you, the last six times you tried that, mm-hmm. you know, you failed every time. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? You're hearing. Mm-hmm. What are you having faith in? You can't do it.
Yes, you're right.
Remember, we're faith beings. Faith comes by hearing. What are you hearing?
Yes, negativity.
That old doom and gloom, misery, agony in the song.
Yeah.
What are you hearing? Never listen to songs without paying attention to the words, because they're going right into your spirit, man. You are becoming what that song says. Mm-hmm. And you will wind up thinking that way and wonder how you got there. Mm-hmm. Because you heard it. You're focusing on it. You're believing it without even knowing it. You're building a building inside your spirit, man, by that. And eventually it comes to pass and you wonder what happened. So keep that in mind when you're listening to things. Listening to people. They're talking negative to you. Don't listen to that. If you got to hear it, but just be off doing something else in your mind. Focusing on the word. Do something. You don't have to agree with what you hear. But faith always comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So channel what you hear.
Well, that was the prayer of Jabez. Remember that big deal he made over the prayer of Jabez?
Mm-hmm.
The name Jabez means disappointment.
Yeah.
And Jabez said, I'm not going to be a disappointment. I'm going to be, you know, God's going to bless me, enlarge my tent, and blah, you know, do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. We don't realize the power of names. They're extremely important. Pay attention to what you call somebody. Names are important. You go through the Bible, they're so important, God changed a couple names.
Mm-hmm.
Because for that person to become who they were going to be, they had to be named something else.
Mm-hmm.
One guy was named Ichabod, the glory has departed. Can you imagine walking through life with the glory has departed? And that's you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you become that. Just be careful with names. And words are more important than what we realize. There is a now moment of activation. When the seed of the word is activated in the now moment by our faith. I activate the word. It lays dormant otherwise.
Mm.
What I say by faith activates the word. But it can only be activated in a now. I can't activate it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I can when I get there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't activate it yesterday. It's not based on what I activated yesterday. I'm living in the results of what I activated yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't activate it yesterday. Only in the now.
Mm-hmm.
Once activated, there is a collection of connected now moments. Remember that. Once that word is activated, there is a collection of connected now moments where the process to manifestation takes place. During these now moments, we exercise the fruit of patience. See, that's what I'm talking about. You got a whole bunch of nows leading up to the fullness or the manifestation of what you prayed for. A whole bunch of connected now moments. What connects them together is patience. Faith and patience connects those nows together. Without patience, if you're a person that gets upset quickly and easily, you cannot walk the fruit of patience, your nows won't be connected. You'll never get the manifestation. And you'll blame God. God didn't do his part. He always does his part. You didn't do yours. Turn that finger back at yourself. The fruit of patience is applied to our now faith, which is applied to the word. The fruit of patience is also applied to our hope or expectation. Talked about that already. Faith, hope, and the fruit of patience work together during the process to manifestation. They have to all three function. When faith, patience, and hope all meet in the now moment, you have manifestation. When they all come together, it's a now. And faith and patience and hope are in the same now.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You got it. Mm-hmm. And that's what the goal is. When faith, patience, and hope all meet in a now moment, you have manifestation. They have to meet, or you don't have manifestation. Mm-hmm. Faith is a heart condition. It's always not a head. We oftentimes they use our head and call it faith, and all that is assumption. I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. It's not real faith. Mm-hmm. Faith is a heart condition. Mm-hmm. It comes from the spirit man. Paul again, Romans 10:8. But what does it say? What does what say? The word? What does the word say? Mm-hmm. But what does it say? The word is near you, mm-hmm. in your mouth and in your heart. Where does that come from? Paul's quoting Deuteronomy. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. They both have to be there. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord, over all, is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that don't mean just say it. It means it's coming from the spirit man inside. I want this. I believe it. I know it's true. I am changing from death to life. From this moment forward, I'm God's child. It's a commitment. And back then, if you did that, when Paul was around and said that, mm-hmm. you were totally excommunicated.
Wow.
You no longer existed in your family. And if the Jews got you, you were dead. That's what Paul was doing.
Yeah.
He was going places, chaining them, leaving them back, putting them in lions and everything else, because they did that. It don't mean anything to us today much. We don't understand it. Well, I said that, but did you mean it? Well, I said it. You said say it, and I'd be saved. No, there's more involved than that. If you didn't mean it, you're not saved. If you didn't mean it, you're not saved. But you can mean it and never change your life after that. You're still saved. You live a miserable life here. Because what you did when you, that you liked so much before, when you were a dead man and separated from God and evil and walking with evil people, you call that fun. Mm-hmm. But now you're born again. You've got a new spirit man and he don't like that stuff. Because there's no life in it. And now when you do that, it's no longer pleasing. You're miserable when you leave. Why? Because it's death. It's not God. You've changed. Now there's light inside you. And now, to really have fun, walk with God. There's nothing like the joy of the Lord. It's your strength. So, faith works by love, or faith will not work without love, walking in love. So it's our choice. Faith works by love, or faith will not work without walking in love.
Yeah.
So you can look at it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't walk in love, your faith will not work.
Mm-hmm.
So the fruit of the Spirit will not work. You will not be able to walk in the ways of the Lord because you are not walking in faith.
Right.
And you cannot walk in faith and be a mean old son of a gun. Doesn't work.
Henry Hyde.
Yeah, you can't be that way. Well, I don't know how to change. I've always been that. You can change, but you got to put the effort in it and use the word for your anchor, because
mm-hmm.
God says you can, and He paid the price so that you could, and you're not alone in it. He'll strengthen you and help you, but. But you're the one that's got to be committed. That's normally what we're not. We don't want to put the effort out. Is that not right? Yeah, but I'm tired of doing that. Well, go on, do what you were doing before. But you'll be a lot tireder of that eventually. It'll tear your life apart. Mm-hmm. So, if you want to walk with God, if you want to see good days, mm-hmm. keep your tongue from speaking evil and walk with God. Mm-hmm. Walk in His way. Actually, it's a little difficult for a while, and the reason it is because it goes against your carnal, nasty thinking. But once you start, mm-hmm. and you start receiving the joy that God gives you, mm-hmm. and things start turning around you, mm-hmm. things start working out, and you got peace in your life that you didn't have before, mm-hmm. it becomes easy. Just make the right decision, that's all. Right? Well, Lord, we thank you so much for this time tonight in the Word. Thank you, Father, for teaching us about faith. I know it's so important to you. It's so important that you can't be pleased without it. And that's because we need it. And Father, we want to thank you that you're teaching us how to walk right with you. We want to walk the ways of the Lord. We want to be pleasing to you. And we want to be an instrument, Lord, for your will to those around us, to be able to share this living word with them. Thank you so much, Father. We bless these people who have come here tonight and those who will hear this by CV and other means. Thank you so much for the honor that we have as family to minister to others, Lord. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Thank you, Lord.